You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you on a, I think it's dry. Is it dry outside, Buck? It's been raining like crazy out here, man.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I know, like, we're going to sound like we're having big people problems, but it's been the rain out West Coast has been bananas for like 4 to 5 days, flooding all over parts of LA. I don't know how bad it was down in San Diego.
Oh, it's terrible, like, man. Just yeah, like a river.
Oh, my goodness. It was terrible. I mean, it was bad. It just broke. So I'm excited about it just to see some sunshine. Jeez, my dog wouldn't go for a walk. Nothing. It was not great.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've been doing a lot of the Super Bowl stuff that you've been doing up in LA. So I had a hotel up there and you know that where that little West Drift hotel is right there, like right outside Manhattan Beach. And there's a par three golf course, like a little 9-hole par three golf course on the back of the hotel. I've stayed there a million times. So I've seen this golf course. I looked out my window. It looks like there's a floating green because it is a lake. And then you just see one green. You can't see any other part of the golf course. It is completely underwater. But yeah, so Southern California is not equipped for that, man. We're not equipped for the rain.
Nah, certainly not built for it. So hopefully this is enough for 2024. We don't have to see that again to 2025 because it was terrible.
No question. All right. So today we are going to get to the Super Bowl. We'll do our little Super Bowl preview. We're going to save that at the end. We are going to talk about the draft and teams. I've got five teams that I think will at least effort to try and get up for a quarterback. I don't know that they'll be able to. I don't know if any of those top three teams are going to trade out, but I've got five teams. We can get into that, have some draft talk as well. But let's start things off. We had the awards last night. We had the announcement of the Hall of Fame class, and I think it's a sign of our age that now as these guys are getting announced as Hall of Famers, they're guys that we were either with or scouted during our careers. So the names of the guys, we got Randy Gradishar. He's a little before our time. He played 74 to 83. Devin Hester, Andre Johnson. We've got Steve McMichael, 81 to 93, again, a little bit before us. Julius Peppers, who Buck has a history with. We'll get into that. And Patrick Willis, Dwight Freeney. So we've been around a lot of these guys, Buck, but I know one in particular that you were definitely around.
Yeah, no, DJ, this is crazy because now you are talking about it coming full circle where we're beginning to induct people that we scouted or they were part of the teams that we're on. For me, I think what's so great about this is when you are on a team and you're scouting and you're able to watch a Hall of Fame player do his thing every week, it changes your standard. So we've already talked about it on here a few times that I've been lucky enough to play with Hall of Fame pass rushers in Reggie White, Derek Thomas, Bruce Smith. So like for a lot of my time when it came to scouting, like I always kind of measured guys compared to that. Julius Peppers was the first guy that I scouted that you then see as a Hall of Famer, like from that vantage point. And I'm going to say this, and it's funny, I don't want the Carolina Panthers people to get mad at me, but when we were there, like DJ, Julius Peppers is like a freak of nature, right? Just, I mean, leaps tall buildings in a single bound. And you know, like, and I think it's the nature of scouting where you kind of nitpick, like, man, I just wish that, yeah. no, he just, man, doesn't look like he plays hard and this and that. And every year he's getting like 17, 18 sacks, right? So it comes time to like redo his deal because his rookie contract is up. And the Panthers don't, like, they don't do it. They let him play on a tag.
Yeah.
And so because in the building was like, man,
he's got a little more. He's got a little more in him. Yeah.
Do more. DJ, he goes away to Chicago. And I think that's when the appreciation for like, oh man, you know,
pretty good.
Right. But and so that stuff, like sometimes we can be too harsh of a critic, but I will say, like, in watching him, we always evaluate players. We talk about like the height, weight, speed, the athleticism, the freaky stuff that they can do or whatever. I just have never seen anybody who make it look so easy off the edge. This was a guy that was a legitimate basketball player at North Carolina, went to the Final Four, was a sixth or seventh man on that team. You know, I mean, a legitimate player, like came and got rebounds, all that other stuff. Not, like a legitimate player. And so that athleticism and watching him play, he was someone who in high school played running back, just the best of the best. Wherever you, just kind of the guy, like if he's on your PE class in high school, whatever the sport is, kickball, dodgeball, volleyball, he's the best at. That's how Julius Peppers was amongst his peers. And for me, the memory that I will have of him is watching him on the Super Bowl 38 team. Second, maybe third year in the league, he's the best dude on the defense. And it's a defense that had Pro Bowlers. It was him, Chris Jenkins, Brinson Buckner, Mike Rucker. But his dominance set the table for everybody else. And it also was John Fox's brilliance of moving him, instead of putting him normally where we would always put like the best pass rusher at right defensive end against the left tackle.
Yeah.
He did something similar that he did with Mike Strahan. He put him at left defensive end and let that freak show go against right tackles. And he just wore them out over and over and over again.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah, I remember when they would come to town and it was him and Steve Smith. And I remember working on an advance report for one of those games. And I remember just being like, just don't let these two guys beat you. Like, that's it. You just got to control those two guys. They beat us with those two guys. And we couldn't stop them. We couldn't do anything about it, which is a reminder that Steve needs to get in too. Going through some of these other names, Devin Hester, I remember writing him up. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was a tough one to figure out in the draft room because we're like, I don't know, is he going to play offense? Is he going to play defense? We know he's an unbelievable kick returner, but we didn't know exactly what to do with him. So he was kind of tough to slot. And to be honest with you, thank goodness he came along in that era because the returns have all but disappeared from the game. So that was the perfect timing for him to get his career going. Congratulations to him. Andre Johnson, I remember I was working for the Ravens. I hadn't got hired yet, but it was like an internship for the year he came out. I got hired on the next year, but at the combine, they wanted me to come out there and work and wrangle players and do all that stuff. And so I remember sitting in the room with him, and I didn't know it at the time because it was my first time sitting in combine interviews where for those who don't know, you had a 15-minute timer and you had people waiting outside the door for the next team, the next interview. And so as soon as that, you get a 2-minute warning buzz, and then the horn buzzes, and then sometimes the players are kind of shaking hands, and then the next team's like, hey, we got to go. We're not going to lose time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
us. You remember that? Like how?
Yeah, you had to fight for time.
You got to fight for the time. And so everybody was always trying to get extra, trying to push the limits. How much extra time can you get? Andre Johnson was in the Ravens room, and the Ravens picked 10th that year. I think that was the year they took Suggs. It was 6-7 minutes in. I'm not even to – it didn't even get to 10 minutes, Buck. 6 or 7 minutes in. He is just – he was not one that wanted to talk, so he was just given 1 and 2 word answers. And then Ozzy, after like 6 or 7 minutes, was like, we're good. Like, hey, we're good. All right, they'll let you go. And I just remember thinking like, wow, that was kind of fast. That's the only time in eight, you know, whatever it was, 8 years of combines that I ever saw somebody that didn't get taken to the whistle. And it wasn't even halftime. And Ozzy was like, he ain't gonna be there when we pick anyway. So let's not stop wasting everybody's time. Like, let's let him move on. He was a man of few words, but what a dominant player. And then Patrick Willis, remember him at the Senior Bowl. But it was a real dominant game. You know, like they played all, you just, know, now we've modified the rules. Buck, he might have had like three tackles on special teams. Like, I remember him covering kicks and being like, holy crap, like, this dude is here. He is not, he did not here come here for a good time. He came here to get after it.
DJ, because you remember back then, I mean, that's when the Senior Bowl was really an ultra competitive thing. I mean, it was there was no asking out. It was best on best, ones versus ones. I've heard about you. I want to see if you're as good as I thought that you are. I mean, the competition was ratcheted up. And I just remember this dude, you would hear him before you could see him. Like, you remember, because you would have two things going on. Like, 9-on-7 would be on one end. One-on-one is down on the other. So you got your eyes kind of looking at the wide receivers and the DBs. But then you would hear a whack. Oh, and he's, oh, Patrick Willis got him another one. I mean, it was just an unbelievable time. And to think about the San Francisco 49ers and just the dominance that they had, Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, two guys controlling it. And I think what's fascinating now, the San Francisco Niners still believe in that blueprint. They still believe in linebackers dominating the game. They have not deviated away from that. And that was certainly set in motion by the success that they had with Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, those guys controlled in the middle of the field.
No doubt. Again, him and Andre Johnson, two guys didn't talk a lot, but they talk with their pads, man. They were two of the more physical football players of that entire era. One last thing on the Hall of Famers, because I know, like, we've got colleagues and friends that we feel we've been saying, like, Reggie Wayne should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, what are we doing here? He should be in. Steve Smith belongs in the Hall of Fame. I know their time's coming. But this one, like, I was shocked that Antonio Gates not get in on the first ballot. Like, shocked. Fuck, he was the best tight end in the league for a long time. He's got the most tight ends by like 30 or 40, most touchdowns by tight ends by like 30 or 40. I think he's like sixth or seventh in touchdowns amongst everyone. Like, you're talking about the Mount Rushmore of receivers, and this tight end is like right on their heels. Like, that was shocking to me that he didn't get in.
Yeah, no, it's shocking because they keep the classes so small, and this would appear to be the time for him to get in. You think about what he was able to do. I sat here and talked about Julius Peppers playing basketball. Antonio Gates was a legitimate basketball player at Kent State. Didn't have the football background. Was a guy that was averaging double digits, and I think double-digit rebounds as well. My story with Gates is, you know, during preseason, when you're an area scout, you'll go to, like, the local game, and you're trying to help out the pro department. So being in L.A., at the time, the Chargers were in San Diego. So San Diego is the team that I would kind of go and just, you know, you do all the body typing, you do the quick flash reports. So Antonio Gates is on the list. He's the free agent. At the time, he's wearing number 49. So DJ, I want you to understand, like, I want you to understand when you have your flip card and they give you all these names and numbers and you see tight end 49, it's not an automatic that you're going to pay a lot of attention to number 49. Yeah. So I remember looking like, okay, yeah, he ran around a little bit. He may get a handful of snaps or whatever. My college, one of my college coaches, Tim Brewster, was coaching the Chargers that time, coaching tight ends or whatever. And he would talk about him, but like, look, you talk to Brunel, Brew would tell you, oh, man, I knew I didn't know. You talk to him back then. Yeah, you talk to him back then. Don't know, get an athlete, this and that. But it was just fascinating to watch an undrafted free agent, a guy come from the basketball court, and literally, by a second year, he's having an impact as a tight end, as a pass-catching playmaker. And then to see him have the level of success that he had, and we've seen it happen time and time again in terms of basketball players being able to kind of make that transition at tight end. But a lot of it was due to Tony Gonzalez and then Antonio Gates being able to successfully make that transition and make it at a high level as pass-catching playmakers. His time is coming, but yeah, it's certainly a surprise to see that he didn't get in. And I think we also should mention Dwight Freeney. Dwight Freeney got in. I think for me, my story on Dwight Freeney in that draft, watching him at Syracuse, and he's a little herky-jerky in his play. Yeah. I've never seen someone whip people with that the move spin that you know is coming.
Oh, man.
Like, the spin is coming. The spin is coming. And just, I just wonder how many of his sacks have been derived off that the spin move. I mean, just, but it's the thing that we talk about. And I heard Kobe Bryant say this. You have to be predictable to be unstoppable. And you only need to have two moves to be dominant. And I think Dwight Freeney certainly took that to another level. Speed rush, spin move. That's all you're getting, but you couldn't stop it. And his ability to be able to get to the quarterback time and time again, he deserved to be a Hall of Famer. So I just want to make sure we shouted him out on getting in.
I talked to a coach one time, a coordinator one time, and he was like, look, if you don't have tendencies, you're not any good. And I was like, ah, I never really thought about it. Because everybody's like, oh, we're gonna study it. And we're going to find out what their tendencies are. He's like, yeah, no, if you don't, you got to make something's got to be your bread and butter. If you don't have any tendencies, then you don't have anything that you're really, really good at. So, you know, then you got a problem. I'd much rather have tendencies and be darn good at it. Even when you know it's coming, you can't do anything about it. So that's interesting on Freeney. Yeah, no, he was, golly, that was vicious. He could spin inside and outside too, either way you wanted to go. And he was very, very slippery. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. A quick little draft discussion before we get to this Super Bowl preview. We'll jump into that right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. I'm not guarding like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't me.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
All right, Buck, I don't want an episode to go by during this time of year as we have the Super Bowl ahead of us, and we'll get to that big game. But I do think we need to get a little draft talk in here. I was looking at the draft order, talking around to people, and I've talked to a bunch of GMs and decision makers and executives. And I know, look, they're just getting into draft meetings now. So I'm not saying how they have their board stacked. None of that's set up. Mm-hmm. But I do know some individual people that have, you know, strong grades and evaluations on some of the players that they've looked at, as well as just talking to other people around the league. Some of it's first person knowledge. Some of it's just talking to buddies around the league who are connected with some teams. And I came up with five teams that are outside the top three. If we're going to assume, and I really do believe this, that we're going to go quarterback, quarterback, quarterback when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And we'll see you can make a strong case it would be wise for all three of those teams to stick and pick. But there's cases to be made. You've got the Justin Fields situation that Chicago's got to try and navigate around and make that choice, figure out what they want to do. So, you know, they're still, they have options. You look at Washington with our buddy Adam Peters going in there.
Yeah.
They could look to get a haul of picks and try and build a foundation before inserting a quarterback after that. And then you look at the New England Patriots. To me, man, they're a team that's ripe for some new energy with Gerard Mayo taking over. and pairing him with a new quarterback seems to make a lot of sense. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that one of those teams was willing to take the haul, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you the teams, and you tell me if who would be the most likely, the most, you know, the most desperate, the most active in trying to pursue something like this. So I'll give you the teams, and I'll give you some of their resources. Okay, pick number six, the New York Giants. Daniel Jones has been paid. I don't get the sense that I'm not saying buyer's remorse, but I don't get the sense that they feel comfortable with him as the long-term guy. They have 2 second-round picks. They have pick 39 and 47. So those are high twos that they have. So they've got some extra ammunition there. Pick number eight, the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons have 2 threes, pick 74 and 79. Obviously, you're talking about making these trades. You're talking about future ones and everything else. But at least there's a little extra capital this year. Minnesota at 11. Is a team that's done a lot of homework on quarterbacks the last couple years. Kirk's up. We'll see what happens there. They have 2 fours, so not a lot extra there. Denver at 12. They do not have a second round pick, so they would have to. It would be a haul of future picks. Vegas at 13. They have just a pick in every round, no extra picks. But when you look at those teams, the Giants at 6, Atlanta at 8, Minnesota 11, Denver 12, Vegas 13. Who would you say you could wrap your mind around saying, man, they could go for this thing?
Well, look, man, I think Atlanta has to be in the conversation to go up there because they have to be in there. We could talk about all the different things. And, you know, we could talk about Minnesota needs a quarterback. You just know that this team is ready to rock with all the people. They just need a dynamic player. I think they have to throw somebody in there. But in terms of like the teams that you listed, I think the Giants, because I know there's not a sense of panic right now, but to me, it feels like there should be a sense of panic and desperation around the Giants. Just the stuff that took on the turnover on the staff, the 2 second-round picks that you talk about, I think they're valuable because 2 twos equal a one, and then being able to give up a one the following year, I think that could be the location. It's just a matter of if Joe Shane is willing to swing for the fences when it comes to getting the quarterback.
Yeah, no, I think that one makes a lot of sense. I'm with you. I think those two teams in terms of where they're positioned. The other thing I would say is if we're looking at the teams to trade out, let's say, you know, the one that's interesting to me would be 3, New England. So let's say of the top 3 quarterbacks that we view as the top 3 quarterbacks, let's say they have 2 and whatever order they are, and then they feel like there's a little gap before you get to number 3. If that's the case, now you've got to start stacking up Justin Fields. Now, we think of Fields with Chicago. No, I'm thinking about Fields with New England, and New England saying, well, hold on now. If let's say that Chicago takes Caleb, let's say that whatever one between the next, let's say Drake May goes 2, then you have to look at it and say, okay, well, I have pick 34 if I'm New England. I can probably get Fields for pick 34. So I get pick 34, and now I can auction. I mean, I get Fields for pick 34. Now I'm the team that's sitting here in the catbird seat saying, hey, Giants, Atlanta, all those 5 teams that I just mentioned, pick number 3 is up for sale. Give me the haul. I've got my quarterback already on campus. It only cost me the 34th pick. And now you're New England, Gerard Mayo. I can get a treasure trove of assets here to try and build around Justin Fields in New England. Which I think would be fascinating. Then you're looking at Chicago, who did not have a second round pick because, what was it? That was Montez Sweat. No, it was Claypool the year before. Montez Sweat this year. So they would go, let's say they would go Caleb at 1. They could take his high school teammate and Olufoshanu, the tackle from Penn State at 9. And they come back, get like with pick 34 they get from New England, they could get a guy like Troy Franklin, you know, Adnan Mitchell, whatever receiver that you like there that's there at pick 34. Now you've kind of really, you're cooking with some gas there. But I think New England, I think that's an interesting scenario there.
Well, I think for some of these teams, so we'll use the Patriots as the example. For some of these teams, you have to look at this class in comparison to Justin Fields and what else may be available on the market, right? So I would think Russell Wilson would be in the conversation, all those other things. Like you have to kind of pick and choose, but we'll use Justin Fields as the example. What we're saying is, it's not just how do we rank those guys, because let's just do this. Justin Fields in this draft class, where would he slot? So if we talk about Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, then it's Justin Fields versus wherever the break is, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, JJ McCarthy. That's how the Justin Fields conversation plays out. He's included in this draft class because you're trying to look, well, wait a minute. If I'm going to get a quarterback, would I rather have JJ McCarthy in the 20s or Justin Fields in the second round? That's how it will go. And so the scenario that you bring up with the Patriots does make sense. If they like Justin Fields, if they can do the deal early, get him in, he's on campus, we give up the second round pick, we're open for business at 3. Whoever wants to come and get the third quarterback, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, whatever, what are you willing to give us? Because now we're going to reset our team with all the draft capital that you give us in exchange for the third best quarterback in the draft.
And to me, it makes sense that if you the team that gets Fields, because the price, you know, from a money standpoint is going to jump way above what you would be paying, you know, quarterback 4, 5, or 6 in this draft. So to me, the team that gets Fields, it makes the most sense for a team that's in position to then trade down with their first round pick to then say, okay, well, I might be spending more on the quarterback than I would if I drafted one, but I've got all these picks, which is going to give me 4 or 5 cheap starters to help offset the money that I would pay Fields versus the money that I would pay the draftable team, which is why the team that makes the most sense right there is New England. New England, that makes the most sense because they can put him in and then they can have all these other picks to try and put cheap, you know, valuable players around him. That to me is what would make a lot of sense there.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because you're going to have to do that because his thing is real and he'll probably have to do something similar like the team that acquires him. We'll have to consider doing something like the Packers did with Jordan Love in terms of kind of like a little stopgap deal to kind of figure out.
Yeah, kind of a bridge contract.
What it's going to be so you can be able to move forward. But DJ, it is going to be fascinating. And so that's why it's like taking a 3 or 4 dimensional view at the quarterback position. It's not just as static as here are the quarterbacks in the 2024 class. Let's rank them from 1 to 5. It's, oh, no. We got to put Justin Fields in this conversation. And some we got to put some of these other guys in the conversation because the other guy, and the reason why I will mention Russell Wilson is because the Denver Broncos are going to have to eat up most of that contract.
Yeah.
So your conversation, even as Russell being an older player, well, if we're getting Russell on a minimum or a slightly above minimum deal, are we willing to take that or are we going to go with a younger quarterback? Like all these things, all these discussions have to kind of enter the meeting room.
Here's the other part to me that's interesting. And I have, you know, teams have done this homework. I haven't done it, obviously, yet. There's not, and things, quarterbacks emerge every year. There is no buzz or excitement on next year's quarterbacks. So, in other words, if you are the team, if we're talking about teams trying to, if you're the team that trades off of one of these top three guys this year, you better have another quarterback. Right? Like, that's why the Fields thing makes so much sense because, okay, we'll trade out, we'll trade off, but then I still have my quarterback here. I don't think it makes sense, like if you're Washington, to say, okay, we're going to trade pick 2 and we're going to go down to, you know, 8 or 11 or 12 and then we're going to build up our roster. Then we'll get our quarterback next year. Like nobody seems to be excited about your options next year. You don't want to punt on getting one of these guys this year if we don't know when that next group is coming and if you're going to be in a position to get those guys. So that's why, like, when you go through these scenarios, like the one team in the top three that could trade out, New England is the one that makes the most sense, and it would be because they could somehow get Fields, you know, with the second pick, with their second round pick, I should say.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because I'm trying to get like a little peek ahead with the numbers and names, and so just lightly, so the guys that we're talking about, Quinn Ewers, Shedeur Sanders. Man,
you got Penn State. You got Penn State kid. You got the Georgia kid.
Drew Aller, Carson Beck. Oof. Right now.
And I haven't done a workup on them, so I don't want to.
No.
Their reputation, but I'm just saying their teams have done this homework and are not super excited comparing this. They are much higher on this crop of quarterbacks versus the crop that's coming next year. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, and that will impact the decisions. And so when we talk about front offices being in lockstep, that's the general manager being able to tap into the knowledge and insight of the college scouting director to be able to say, hey, man, what does 2025 look like? I don't know if there's going to be an answer there. There's not a surefire one. We're coming into this year that Caleb Williams was going to be the bell of the ball. He was the prize. We also knew that Drake May was going to be in the conversation as one of those crown jewels. Jaden Daniels emerged as the third guy. the buzz is not the same when it comes to 2025, which will impact the way that teams look at the 2024 class. Look, everyone that may take shots at Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy and those things, you got to compare those guys to what the next class looks like.
No doubt, Buck. I mean, that's why, you know, as a personnel department, you've got to be doing your homework, not only on what's in front of you in the free agent class and this draft class, but you've got to be looking ahead of what's coming down the road. And I think that informs your decision. So it's going to be fascinating. I think there are no shortage of teams that would be interested in trying to go up and get one of these guys. It's just about whether you can find a dance partner. And to me, the Patriots, the one that makes the most sense. But again, we'll have months and months to jump into this here. We'll get to the combine here. We'll get some more information. Free agency will inform what's the direction that some of these teams are going as well. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's jump back in after this break, and we'll get you your Super Bowl preview. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't me?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
It's time for the MCS Game of the Week, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. This week, it's the Super Bowl, 49ers versus the Chiefs. The spread is -2 favoring the Niners. The over-under is 47.5. DJ, this is one of the more compelling matchups that we'll get. I mean, this is a tough one, man. This is a tough one. The handicap is a tough one to break down because you talk about a team in the 49ers that have been, like, look, the best team, arguably, outside of the Baltimore Ravens the entire season. And then we have a Chiefs team that has been struggling offensively, but the defense has been lights out.
Does this feel weird? And we'll get into all the positions here, but does this feel weird? Like, it doesn't feel like either one of these teams are sprinting. Like, normally you get into this game and you're like, whew, they are on a run, man. They look good. And this team comes in hot. Like, I don't think either one of these teams is really clicking on all cylinders. That's what kind of makes this a weird Super Bowl.
Yeah, it makes it a weird Super Bowl. I would say of the two, though, the Kansas City Chiefs are definitely clicking more than the 49ers. Defensively, they've been lights out. I think they're holding opponents to only 13.5 points per game in the postseason. And then offensively, they've just done a great job of not turning the ball over. They've played keep away. They haven't turned it over. They've been efficient and effective playing from in front. And that's been enough for them to kind of make their way to the Super Bowl. On the other end with the 49ers, offensively, some slow starts. Defensively, they can't stop the run. They've fallen behind. The effort hasn't been up to par. But when you look at the talent, they've been able to get it done just on the talent. So if you think about the talent with better effort, effort and execution should result in better play. It's just hard to bet against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Let's go position by position, and then we'll just go who has the edge, and then we'll make our selections on this game. I'm sure if you've been watching TV or listened to any football related content, you might even be Super Bowled out. So we're not going to go a long time on this, but let's go position by position. Let's start with the quarterback. It seems like we're pretty obvious of which direction you go there.
Yeah, no, I mean, Pat Mahomes is always going to be hard to bet against. Two-time MVP, two-time Super Bowl MVP. He gets it done in the clutch. His record is second to none when it comes to his postseason success. He's a special player because he's the rare combination of that gunslinger who has learned and evolved into being a manager when he needs to do it. But I think we need to give Brock Purdy some love. And I think what has happened, you know, the pendulum swings so far in each direction when it comes to Brock Purdy, right? There are people that are maybe trying to give him too much credit for the Niners' success. There are people that are trying to take away any of the contributions that he's made. And what I will say is this. Once the draft is done, the draft is nothing more than pole position in terms of how you enter the league. I think people need to wipe away Brock Purdy being Mr. Irrelevant, being the seventh round pick, and really just grade him for what he's been. If you look at the numbers and you watch him play, Brock Purdy plays like a top five, top 10 quarterback in this league. It's not all like the physical dimensions and those things, but in this offense, he plays like a top five player. He's good enough for the 49ers to win this game. He's good enough for the 49ers to run away with this game if he's on point, if he's in a rhythm and he's dealing. I think the challenge for Brock Purdy in this game would be if they jam the middle of the field and they force him to consistently make throws outside the numbers, can Brock Purdy deal and make dime after dime outside the numbers? He hasn't had an issue to date, but this is where in these high games, these, hey, you're facing off against QB1 in the league. If it breaks out into a shootout, does he have enough stuff to knock off the guy in the OK Corral?
Yeah, and I think on Brock, to wrap that one up, I think he's got to have some confidence coming off of these two comebacks. And I think Kyle Shanahan putting his faith in him shows you that he's confident in him as well. So I give Brock all the credit in the world. On the other side, Mahomes, real quick, Buck, these all-time debates, which if Mahomes wins this game, the all-time debates are going to crank up. I feel like it's going to be fascinating because I don't know if we've had this since, and you know, if you, I don't even want to say the name, but it's a basketball player that maybe went to your school. But the when you look at the debates, we've always talked about the debate between the guys with the accomplishments and then the guys with the ability. Like it goes in any era. Like if you think back, it was like, well, Dan, you can tell me that Joe Montana is better than Dan Marino. Dan Marino, look at all the ability. Yeah, but Joe Montana has all the accomplishments. Mahomes has a chance to marry him, has a chance to say, I am the most talented guy, and I'm stacking up all the accomplishments. Like, that's the end of the argument, man.
Yeah, it can't be the end of the argument. I think the best comparison, you talked about the basketball debate. So I think it's more of the golf debate, Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, like, yep.
Because at the time, prior to Tiger's injuries, he was closing fast on the Golden Bear. And it was the marriage of, look, man, this is the most talented golfer that we've seen. And the hardware matches the dominance that we thought that we would project based on how we entered the arena. For Pat Mahomes, it would be that. Three Super Bowls early in his career, the level of dominance that they've had over the last 5 years, projecting that out in the many iterations of the team as it could unfold with him at quarterback, yeah, you begin to think like, hey, man, he might be the only guy who has a reasonable chance at knocking off Tom Brady as the GOAT at the position.
No question. All right, running game. Pacheco's been rolling, but I mean, I think I'm gonna go San Francisco on that one. How about you?
Oh no, I'm gonna go with San Francisco. Even though the Niners have had a tough time stopping the run and distribution vulnerability that the Chiefs can exploit, Christian McCaffrey is exactly what you want at running back in this game. In terms of like, he's a runner receiver. He can do it a bunch of different ways. DJ, when you go look at the numbers, right, and it's scrimmage yards leader, Christian McCaffrey. Rushing leader, Christian McCaffrey. Tied for the most total touchdowns. He's all of that. And at a time when we're talking about the running back has to be an offensive weapon as opposed to just a running back, Christian McCaffrey is the perfect example. And if he's able to do it, it'll shed light on, hey, you can take a running back, but your running back better check off a lot of boxes and your team better be well positioned to utilize them when it's time.
No doubt. I'm going to go San Francisco there. Offensive line, I'm having it as a push. I don't think either offensive line is great. I don't think that, you know, look, you're missing some pieces. Joe Tooney more than likely not playing is a big deal. I don't think the tackles are great for Kansas City. I think the sum is greater than the parts. They play well together. Mm-hmm. Trent Williams, a Hall of Famer at left tackle, but the rest of that offensive line, to me, there's a lot of average players up there. So yeah. I just said as a push.
I can see that because I think it is that because the blue chip player of all of them, we talk about the blue chipper is Trent Williams in a major way. Good players in Kansas City. You talk about Trey Smith, so about Creed Humphrey. Joe Tooney, like those are good players. Not quite on Trent Williams level, but yeah, it is a push because the tackles are vulnerable for the Kansas City Chiefs, Donovan Smith and Juwan Taylor. And there's not a notable player on the San Francisco 49ers outside of Trent Williams. And so I can say, yeah, it's even, it's a push.
Pass catchers, this is maybe the most heavily advantaged spot here to me. Even with Kelce, we throw him into the mix. I still think the depth and the talent San Francisco has, I don't think that's very close.
No, I don't think it's close because Brandon Ayuk quietly. DJ is the quietest thing. Dude had 1,300 yards. DJ, he has the third most big plays by a wide receiver this year. He has 28 receptions of 20 yards or more, only behind Tyreek Hill and CD Lamb. We talk about Deebo Samuel all the time and the freak show that he is, Brandon Ayuk. And so the passing game that the 49ers have with Ayuk, Samuel, and Kittle gives them an advantage over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep. We go over to the defensive side of the ball. Defensive line, I mean, I love Chris Jones and Carl Loftus has done some nice things. They got some good players there, but to me, it's just overwhelming depth and talent that they have in San Francisco.
Yeah, the depth and talent is there. You got to get them to play hard. They haven't played hard. They haven't played with the same energy and effort that you are accustomed to seeing from a Niners team. But from top to bottom, they have dudes, you know. Mm-hmm. We talk about Bosa and Armstead and even Young.
Hargrave.
They have it. And so the scales are tipped in the Niners' favor, even though they haven't played up to the standard that you would expect to see from a team that talented.
San Francisco's linebackers are the best in the league. I love Nick Bolton. I love Drew Tranquil. I don't know if Willie Gay is going to play in this game. I mean, the Kansas City's really good, but to me, I can't go away from Warner and Greenlaw.
No, I mean, those are the guys that we talk about. Like 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers or teams in the championship game because they have like the best combo of second level defenders that you can find. Doesn't change. Greenlaw and Fred Warner are outstanding playmakers, sideline to sideline menaces. They get this one in this debate.
Secondary. I'm going to go KC on that one. Where are you leaning?
No, I'm with KC. L'Jarius Sneed is a legitimate number one player. On the back end, they've done a really good job. Trent McDuffie has been as advertised as a first round pick. Justin Reed is the one that is even better than I thought. When they signed him, I was like, man, you know, I don't know how good he is, but he's terrific, man. He's been outstanding. He can thump. He can play the middle of the field. He does a lot of different things for them. That's the advantage. The weakness of the Niners will be their secondary, but will the Kansas City Chiefs be good enough to be able to attack it?
Special teams, I'll go KC again there. Butker versus Moody, to me, that's a no contest.
Well, yeah, Butker. And also the other thing that you'll talk about, Kansas City being able to come up with big time returns in key moments, going all the way back to the last Super Bowl when they were able to get a big return.
It was Kadarius Toney, right?
Yeah, Kadarius Toney in the AFC Championship game a year ago, they were able to do it. Like they have a knack of being able to pull off big things in the kicking phase. Advantage goes to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Coaches, I'm going to go Andy on that one.
I mean, Andy's done it for so long. It's funny, like listening to the pressers all week. Andy just talked about the experience of being in this game. And when you get to this game, you can't change it up. You can't switch it up. You got to trust what you've done to this point and you got to do it. I think for Kyle Shanahan enters with a little more pressure on him. Just because of the last two Super Bowls, one as an offensive coordinator, the other as a head coach, he had 10-point leads in the fourth quarter, couldn't get it done. Had a 10-point lead last year in the NFC Championship game, couldn't close it out. So you take that factor, A, can Kyle Shanahan close it out? Then you go and you look at his record in the fourth quarter when trailing. They only have one win out of 32 games when being behind. Man, that's a lot. So now you're telling me, you question whether I can close and you question whether I can come back. DJ, I don't care how strong you are. That noise filters in. And so because of that, I just worry about him being a little distracted by trying to prove himself as opposed to doing it where Andy's just coming in. All I got to do is win the game. And yep. Andy has proven that he will be willing to switch styles to win the game. He's proven it this postseason. That's a huge advantage in the playoffs, just that experience. He knows how to get it done.
So if you're scoring at home, that's four for Kansas City. That's four for San Francisco. And that's really? A push. That's
a it was push. Even?
A push.
It seemed like he was even. Going in the Niners direction. Like, nope. Oh, man, it's just nope. So much. So nope. Much.
It's because KC, we gave KC the secondary, the special teams, and the coaches. To go along with the quarterback. So here's my thing. If this is, I ended up picking Kansas City 24-21, I think something like mm-hmm. that. But if we're going to say that it's actually pretty even, these teams are pretty even. And it then you tell me I get the quarterback and the coach.
It always goes to that.
I'll go with the quarterback.
It always goes to that. Like no matter what we say, if we talk about being true to what mm-hmm. we said, makes of championship teams, we talk about three things. Head coach, quarterback, pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
2-1 in Kansas City's favor. You yep. know what I mean? Like that's how we break down. 2-1 in their favor. But when you have the head coach and the quarterback, it's hard to bet against that in a game.
I couldn't go against them. 3-point
game.
I thought that they, if you're going to get the Chiefs, I almost thought the AFC teams had to do it. I thought Buffalo had a chance to do it. I thought Baltimore had a chance to do it. Couldn't get it done. And so, I do. I think the Chiefs win this game, but take heart because I've picked the Chiefs to lose the last two rounds and they've won. So now I'm picking them to win. So that should give 49er fans a lot of hope that they can figure out a way to get this thing done, man.
Hey man, are you on the 8-hour show on Sunday? Are you on game day?
No, thank God I'm not. I get a day. I've been doing that all year, but I don't have to do that. But I'm with you on our game preview. Day preview. Yeah. Okay, so we'll
I
be
didn't
on
know,
that.
I don't know if you're double.
And I'm doing halftime. Are you get to stick around and do the halftime thing?
No, I'll be on the field with Usher. Like
no, yeah, no. Why would you want to watch Usher when you could flip over and watch me and Rhett handle the halftime highlights on the network? Huh? Come on over. Come hang with
Come
us.
Come on over. Yeah. I'll hang with you. I'll click over.
Yeah, Usher be singing Confessions, and you can see me talking about Kyle Juszczyk's conversion on 3rd and 4.
I love it.
Exciting. All right, we've got a little business to take care of on the way out the door here. Buck, what do we? We got to wrap this thing up. That was the MTS Game of the Week, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code MTS. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Super Bowl 58. With code MTS, the crown is yours. There we go. I had to do a little business there at the end. That was a fun episode, man. We covered a lot of different ground. Again, as we go forward, we will recap the Super Bowl, and then it is full speed ahead to the offseason. To the draft and free agency, the combine, all that good stuff. We have a cool thing. I haven't even showed you this yet, but I've had Jack working on this project, and we are going to dig into the teams. We do so much player stuff. We're going to do more on the teams as well this year. And you know, we've talked about that championship formula where you need to have three playmakers, the two pass rushers. All we are going to take every team and we're going to run them through that formula to see not only do they have those positions filled. But then we're going to categorize them in terms of like the age, the future value there, and whether they should be in the market for, what area and those critical factors that we feel like build a championship team.
Man, I love it. That should be fun. Looking forward to doing that project.
Yep, it'll be fun. Again, Jack's he's on it. He's working hard on that. So we'll have that coming your way shortly. Okay, hope you guys have enjoyed this one. We'll be back Monday, and we will recap the Super Bowl and have all that information for you. And we'll start jumping into even more draft discussion right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.